Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Last night's primary election saw South Dakota embrace presidential candidates Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. The Dakota Political Junkies are a panel of the top political reporters and editors in the state. Today, we're going to start out with Kevin Wooster. He's with the Kelo TV Rapid City Bureau. Kevin, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
And you're not totally alone today. We're going to get John Hunter on the phone in just a second. But let's start with you, Kevin, and let's start with the presidential primaries. Quite an interesting, or maybe not surprising, divide down the middle of the state. If you were out to the east, most voted for Hillary Clinton, and West, Sanders had a good showing. Explain that division to us.
Well, I looked at the reservation vote. You know, Bernie had been on Pine Ridge, and he'd been out here in western South Dakota as well as in Sioux Falls, and he carried Pennington County pretty well. But, of course, there was some real powerful votes for him on reservation counties and those adjoining. Hillary held her own there, too, because they have, they have a relationship to Clinton's do with the reservations. People like to say that the Democrats in the Black Hills are the strongest, I guess, most liberal Democrats in the state, which is kind of ironic in the heart of this conservative Republican area. So a lot of them went with Bernie, I think, in his message. And there was some anti-Hillary stuff among the Democrats. In fact, I talked to somebody who had a young phone caller that was actually had some profanities thrown at him, trying to call Democrats to rally for Hillary, and these were Bernie people and were pretty upset because they buy into Bernie's message big time and believe Hillary's part of the establishment, so they're kind of frustrated with that.
What are they hoping to hear from Bernie Sanders next? Because what I'm understanding, and I didn't watch anything this morning or read much this morning, but he's going to go to Washington, D.C. and campaign there. He's going to see it to the end. Is that what they're hoping for?
Yeah, I think there certainly are some. There are some realists, I think, the writing's been on the wall on this for a while, I think, and I'm assuming that Bernie Sanders is going to recognize what he has to do here in the next week and finish up with that Washington, D.C. primary and then start working on, uniting the party. And I imagine Barack Obama, who is a pretty good uniter, I think, especially when it comes to the Democratic Party, will have a big role in that here shortly. I thought Hillary Clinton had a nice message last night. I noticed that when she brought up Bernie, a lot of people cheered, and when Bernie brought up her, a lot of people booed. So there is still some work to do. So,
Is he kind of going for sort of this convention platform leverage at this point, though? I mean, the math is clear, but he wants to go into the convention saying these people need to be heard within the Democratic Party?
I would think that's a big part of it, although never underestimate the power of somebody who thinks, well, maybe I could be president. And you've got all these people around you, these young people that are really great energy, but perhaps not understanding the realities of the math and the delegate system and which worked for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton didn't walk away from it and say it's a bad system. She came and continued to work in it and lined up her superdelegates as best she could and worked, and as I understand what happened in California, which was a big win for her, a lot of that early on was getting out votes, the mail-in votes early, which they did very well. And somebody who knows how to play the system, maybe somebody a little better who really hasn't played the system very much, operating as an independent for a long time.
Last night, both Donald Trump and Hillary were reaching out to Bernie Sanders voters, and Donald Trump specifically talked about job growth and blue-collar workers. In South Dakota, for the Bernie Sanders supporters, what do they need to hear from Trump or Clinton to decide where they want to go in the general election?
Well, from Trump, they need to hear statements that aren't labeled as his own people as racist. I think that'd be a good place for him to start. And for him to stay to the script more and to, if he really wants to reach out to disaffected Bernie Sanders, and I think there are some Bernie Sanders supporters that would go to Donald Trump. I think it's a kind of a fringe, a kind of a special area. I really think you're going to have trouble dipping into the core of the millennials, Bernie supporters because of just some of the things Donald Trump has said. And I don't know how you can believe that a guy who's made as much money as he has in the system is really outside the Wall Street system as that they're offended by, you know, and he's really offended by the government system more than the Wall Street system. And I think he's got a lot to do there. I think Hillary Clinton has to do what she's been doing, which is to play it really soft and, you know, to tell Bernie Sanders people that I'm going to support you, I'm going to do things for you, whether or not you end up supporting me or not. But I hope you'll look hard at me. And obviously, Bernie Sanders has already changed the platform. He's already changed the way Hillary Clinton is operating as a candidate, and he should really celebrate that, because a year ago, I think he would have been thrilled to do what he has done already.
Are the comments of Donald Trump, or, you know, the inflammatory comments, or the comments that his own party are calling racist, is that a big deal to South Dakotans? Because 67% of South Dakotans still voted, you know, came out and cast their ballot for him yesterday. So is that going to hold him back from the Republican vote in this state?
I hope it's a big deal for South Dakota. I really do. You know, some of this is anti-Hillary backlash, because boy, there's a lot of dislike for Hillary in the Republican Party in this state and elsewhere. Obviously, it's not just here. And some of that is that. But there's also some message. As one person told me, she was a Trump supporter, and she said, "I just want to burn it down." And she was speaking figuratively, I hope, at the government, you know, but to change it. But she said, if I can't vote for Trump, I'll vote for Sanders. I just want somebody who's going to blow up the system.
And is that what he has tapped into? Is that notion of being an outsider in a broken system?
Absolutely. And Hillary Clinton would argue that you can't blow up the system. The system is what it is. The system's going to survive. It always does. What you have to do is change the system. As Barack Obama said, you know, you can't get a 50% steering change if you're running the ship of state. You got to go for a 2% or a 3% change, because that's the reality of what you can get done. And if you capitalize or summarize what Bernie Sanders said about, he wants a 50% change. Hillary wants a little change. You know, I think one of the comedians said Bernie wants to shoot for the moon. Hillary just wants to get to Akron safely. And, you know, there's a lot of people that would be satisfied with getting to Akron safely.
But some of those are not the American electorate at this point. They're looking for a bigger swing.
You know, and it'll be interesting to see how John Thune plays this, how Mike Rounds plays this, how Dennis Dugard plays this, because I don't think Dugard has endorsed yet. And he, of the candidates, he's the one that I think struggles the most personally with Donald Trump. And he has an obligation, in a position of really is what the Republicans would call a superdelegate if they had them at the convention. And those kinds of things are going to be a problem for him, because I know personally that he's very, very unhappy with some of the things that Donald Trump has said.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What in Dennis Dugard's character is causing this, you know, more angst than some of the others? Not to, you know, bash anybody else's character, but let's just talk about him. And why is it specifically so challenging for him?
Well, they're in a little different position. John Thune especially is in a position of leadership in the Senate for his party, and suddenly you're looking at this guy being the presumptive nominee of your party. It's kind of a hard thing. Dennis Dugard doesn't have quite that position, although he does have a leadership position. But also, there's something that's really kind of unique about Dennis Dugard in my experience with these level of politicians, is that how much he struggles with philosophical questions within himself. And, you know, he's a good-hearted guy, which is not to say that the others aren't, but also he's not necessarily talking about running for office again. So I'm sure he's right now thinking, I don't like this guy. I think he's a misogynist. I think he's made racist statements. I don't know how I could support him. I don't know how my family, especially the women in my family, could feel comfortable with me supporting him publicly. But maybe it's my duty to do that. And I would guess he'd say, I too don't want Hillary to be president, although I don't know that he would say that as strongly as maybe some of the others would.
How controversial does a candidate, and this is a bigger philosophical question, Kevin, but I think you can handle that. How much does a candidate have to implode, or how much does a candidate have to stir up controversy before his or her own party will distance themselves from them?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's been a half dozen times on this campaign where I've said that's it for Donald Trump, and so did everybody else. And the last one was this comment about the federal judge. I mean, seriously? And Paul Ryan, I told somebody this morning, Paul Ryan is growing as a man because of Donald Trump. He's becoming, to me, more of a statesman because of Donald Trump and some of the things that he has said about, no, that's absolutely racism, and that's not something that we condone in our party or that I will ever accept. And I don't know that he could ever go around as to unendorse Trump, but if he keeps making statements like that, he and Trump are certainly going to have a problem, and I think that speaks well for Paul Ryan. Just as I think personally that Dennis Dugard's delay in saying, I'm just not ready to endorse, speaks well for him.
Do you think that the platform is more important than the candidate for some of these voters, or are they really, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, isn't it, if they're coming behind Trump because they believe in his message, or if they're coming behind Trump because they believe in the Republican Party and what it stands for?
Well, let's just say that some people, unfortunately, like everything about Donald Trump, including what he said about the federal judge, including what he has said about certain, you know, women, including, you know, what he has said about Muslims. I hope that's a very small percentage, but it's certainly a percentage. Some people embrace the whole message of Donald Trump, which is sad to me. Other people, look beyond that and say, what can he do for the economy? What can he do for jobs? Despite the fact that he has no record for doing anything in a government sense. And the problem is, can you run a government like you can run a corporation? Most people that have tried running government will tell you you can't. But there's a great deal of confidence in him among his supporters, and I think in some it's enough confidence, and there's enough anger there that they're willing to overlook some really, really objectionable and offensive comments.
So a senator from Arizona just withdrew his Trump endorsement. Is it possible that we could see in South Dakota people withdrawing their endorsements of Trump if this can, I mean, there's some time left before the convention.
Well, I'd certainly love to see some people from South Dakota expressing second thoughts. If I had a conversation with Mike Rounds and John Thune and Kristi Noem, I would say, boy, surely you must have some second thoughts, don't you? But I think a lot of it will depend on what Donald Trump does now. He did stick to the script a little bit more, and I was listening to Mitch McConnell encouraging him to stick to the script a little more. Scripts are a good thing, McConnell told him, I think, something like that. And boy, would he be better off if he would stick to the script. But he's a rogue. He's used to playing it his own way. He's used to things working out for him, and he's not used to having to care what certain people think. And so far, it's worked out pretty well for him.
Have you seen him grow as a statesman at all, or has he stayed consistent from the time he sort of hit the scene and now?
I honestly haven't seen any growth myself. I mean, I've seen him pretend to grow. I've seen him and heard him say that he's growing, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any that I think is legitimate or long-lasting, which is not to say they can't do it. And I think that's what a lot of the Republicans are hoping for, that he can do it. He can become more of a statesman. And he can show a better side of who he is and who America should be. I mean, I think Hillary Clinton has a strong message there that, do you want division or you want somebody to try and unite? And there are some people out there who want division. They thrive on division. I don't know how many, you know, what the percentage is, but it's an unsettling percentage, however big it is.
Do you think Hillary Clinton can become a uniter?
Well, that seems like a contradiction in terms of, but she certainly has the goal and intention and the ability to become one. I think Donald Trump has the ability to become one too, but I believe her heart is in the right place in terms of uniting, and I'm still not convinced that Donald Trump's heart is in the right place in that, because I don't know that he's ever really had to unite. He's always kind of just had things his own way.
There's a lot at stake, not only for the nation, which we keep being reminded of on the news, but it seems to me there's a lot at stake for the Republican Party going forward. Who are we as a party, and what's next, for Republicans in the state as well?
Well, I know some really good-hearted, long-standing, fiscally conservative Republicans who have slightly more moderate, perhaps social views, but also some with pretty conservative social views. They're very concerned about the future of the party, and very concerned about the damage Donald Trump might do to it. And you know, they decide: do I back off, or do I challenge him? What's best for me to try and preserve the standing of the party and not let this guy wound us terribly? Now, I suppose it's possible that he could surprise me and surprise everybody else, as he's done in a lot of areas, and somehow manage to not damage the party and somehow manage to, if he doesn't win the presidency, at least not destroy the party's majorities in the Senate and the House and set it back for a generation. But I certainly think that's what a lot of Republicans that are really smart political thinkers that I know are afraid of.
Let's talk about the Republican Party in South Dakota. There were some incumbent versus incumbent elections out west. Jacqueline Sly, Phil Jensen. Is it Phil Jensen? Did I get his name right?
Yeah, Phil Jensen.
Yeah, yep. Phil Jensen. Thank you. And he beat Jacqueline Sly by a solid margin.
Yeah.
What does that say about, did she pay a political price for her support of education reform and her leadership in education reform, or is it just hard to beat an incumbent?
She may have paid somewhat of a price, but he's a pretty hard guy to beat. You know, there's a little Trumpism going on there where he has said some things where you just want to bang your head against a wall and say, really, seriously, could you back up and try that again? And but he's a very, very hard right conservative, and he's got a real strong voting block out in west of Rapid City, particularly, I think, in and around a very strong evangelical Christian church out there. And he gets people out. And, you know, when there's a lower voter turnout, and we all complain about low voter turnout, it's usually the people that feel the strongest and the most active that win and get their people out. I mean, all over town yesterday, I saw this group of conservative folks working hard mm-hmm. with signs, not just for one candidate, for him and for other candidates that, of like mind. And, you know, it makes a difference there. There were a couple there. You may have noticed Bruce Rampelberg, who was another supporter of the governor's plan, lost to Lance Russell, a very, very conservative lawmaker, who's also a former, a long-term legislator in the House. And so he has standing there. But there were a couple of big losses and a couple of people that survived. But boy, there's a lot of political pressure from the conservative Republican group out here that makes campaigns interesting. They're usually the primary campaigns, but there's some interesting.
And
I don't know what it says to Guggart.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, any indications, just to take the possibility of a special session for Medicaid expansion. Did we see any signs yesterday that with how voters turned out, that's something that Dennis Guggart will be able to call a special session and have some traction on?
Well, I think he's going to have to look at the results of the election after this and kind of figure out what the numbers are and where he goes from here. He has shown a great deal of fortitude in pursuing what he believes and what he thinks should happen, and not being afraid to stare down the hard right, which is a powerful force out here and elsewhere. But just like Bernie Sanders has got to kind of look at results and look at numbers and decide how to proceed, Dennis Guggart has some things to look at here, too.
Kevin Wooster, any other primaries, regional or local, that you wanted to talk about today, or any topics we didn't get to?
I don't see anything that jumps out at me, unless you have something else.
We covered pretty good ground, so I'm going to say thank you, and thanks for taking the show by yourself there. It's good to get into the deep philosophical stuff with you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I should tell you, I'm standing in the hallway outside a federal courtroom waiting, trying to cover this, too, so I was hoping it didn't get over. It's worked out just perfectly. It's still going on.
Kevin Wooster is with the Calo TV Rapid City Bureau. Kevin, thank you so much for putting in the extra effort today.
Well, thank you, too.